a spirited edition of Bleep You Thursday. Thank you to all those involved. Louis Riddick, you know, worked for the Burgundy and Gold. I don't think it's a secret that he cares for the organization. I think he's also kind of campaigned to become the general manager a few different times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what keeps Louis from getting back into the league. He obviously hasn't yet. Doesn't mean maybe he won't someday. But I do think he's a really good commentator, analyst. I think he provides good insight as a former player, former front office guy. And Riddick hasn't been shy about what he thinks of the Commanders and kind of the way the NFC shapes up. This is ESPN's Louis Riddick talking about the Commanders as far as NFC threats to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Right now, who do you think is the biggest threat to Philadelphia in the NFC?
It's Washington. It's Washington, Green, because they're making all the right moves. Look, I know we want to like conveniently say, well, Jaden Daniels can't have another season like he had last year. Well, why not? Why can't he? Did Cliff Kingsbury go anywhere? No. Did they add some protection on the offensive line? Yeah. Laremy Tunsil and the drafting of Josh Connerly are huge. It's huge. It all started up front with them anyway. Deebo Samuel, that acquisition is huge because we know he's a multi-tool player. And we know that a guy like Jalen Lane, who they draft from Virginia Tech, he's an absolute stud in terms of his ability to add another speed component to go along with Terry McLaurin. And really, you know what? Here's the biggest thing. If they hit on Trey Amos, the corner that they draft out of Ole Miss, and we saw Washington just get obliterated in the NFC Championship game by Philadelphia through the air, on the perimeter. If Trey Amos can be that dude, I'm telling you, everything is looking up for Washington. Everything is looking up.
Everything is looking up. I tend to agree. I thought it's Amos. Trey Amos. Like famous Amos. Have you
what do you call Amos?
Yeah. I
hear a lot of people saying Amos as well.
I don't know what is accurate. We're gonna have to get to the bottom of that.
Just ask him directly.
Yeah. Next week I'll ask.
I just call him Trey. I said, what's up, Trey?
That's a good workaround.
Yeah.
You
don't have to say the whole name.
What do you think is the biggest hurdle for Washington kind of remaining, like, getting back to the NFC title game? Like,
I believe the
it's
offense,
hard to do.
I'm not going to say necessarily a hurdle. I just think that having the offense have a legitimate season again. I believe the offense, as I've said before, everyone talks just about the defense. That offense scored in one possession games in six games straight, which means the defense was giving them enough, holding teams back enough or just being there to give them an opportunity to still win. But if the offense can stay effective and keep the defense fresh, the defense could play a lot better. So I think as much as people think it's about the defense, I think the offense getting close to where they were last year is most important.
I think if they could run the ball better, man.
Yeah.
They started running the ball really well.
That would make them better.
Really fell off.
That would make them better, wouldn't it?
Totally. Yeah. I think the second half of the year, I mean, Jaden was their primary runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's the best, most efficient type of offense. You never want to remove Jaden's legs from the game because he's such a threat. But you'd love to maintain whatever that looks like. B-Rob, Eckler, Bill. Chris Rodriguez. Bill. They got a lot of dudes. They got a lot
of
options.
That deal with that kills me.
I love it. I think if they could run the ball better, makes them more efficient. I think Deebo as a runner,
if they can run the ball,
a piece of this
with their explosiveness, that makes another team become so one dimensional on the offense to where now your defense has a chance to exploit them.
Sure, I think.
And now with Jaden's ability, Deebo to be able to do it from anywhere, Terry, what he did last year, you know, still Zach is still, they now.
I saw Zach yesterday.
They can be a hell of a problem for some people.
I think people really sleep on the way Zach Ertz takes care of his body, like just the amount of work that dude puts in. I got asked last night on All Ears, we do like a mailbag segment, if I think Cliff will carve out more of a role for Ben Sennett. And I have a couple thoughts on it. One, I think Sennett's a really good blocker, and fans don't really value that because, you know, they want to see offensive production. And specifically, the dude asked me, do you think he could have more of an H-back type role? And I think he could. I think he has a skill set for it. But I think they're going to – if you're going to build creative plays with somebody in the backfield, I think those are going to Debo.
See, I think what people got to get over is this is the NFL, people. Coach don't have to carve for you if the person in front of you is still carving up, people. You get what I'm saying? So Ben Sinner is going to have to take a major step for them to want to carve out something for him. And I think he's going to get there eventually. But if you got somebody in front of you playing like Zach has played, it's going to be hard for them to carve out for you because he's still performing at a high level. You know? It's like everyone wants somebody to automatically just be thrown into it and be what they want them to be. That takes time. And if the dude in front of you is available and accessible, you're going to have to wait a little longer.
Agree with that. I looked at some numbers just at this is not win totals or any of that. This is just teams to make the playoffs next year. And I think it's kind of interesting looking at these numbers. The Bills are the safest bet to make the playoffs.
And I think
out of all the teams in the NFL, you look at that division, they got six games against the Jets, the Pats, the Dolphins, and the Bills have made the playoffs. What, probably 5-6 years in a row?
What about the damn Chiefs? They live in the playoffs.
So the Chiefs, so the top four teams are the Bills at -750, the Ravens at -550, the Eagles at -400, then the Chiefs at -380. I think with the Chiefs, it's just that they play in a much tougher division, is my guess.
They've won it how many times? 10?
I think he said 9 times in a row.
Yeah, so I don't know.
These are just the odds. But it goes Bills, Ravens, and maybe Bills is higher because more people will bet it. We know that these aren't always direct correlations to what is the best team or whatever. Bills, Ravens, Eagles, Chiefs, Lions. That's your top five. This, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, well, last year they were injured. They got a bunch of dudes to get injured.
Who was injured?
The 49ers. Had the sixth best odds to make the playoffs at -200. Mm-hmm. You know who got better this offseason? The Rams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the Seahawks definitely got better going from Geno to Darnold, but I'm a big believer in Mike McDonald and that coaching staff. I think their defense will be way better. Mm. I think the Cardinals were pretty damn plucky last season.
Yeah.
The remaining incredibly high expectations on the Niners.
People when they like, Jay.
Bucks a -175, and then you've got three teams at -160. The Bengals, the Commanders, and the Rams.
Okay.
So the Commanders are a favorite to make the playoffs, just ahead of the Chargers, the Texans, the Packers, and the Broncos. You think that Commanders number is about right?
I think it should be a little higher. I think they're better than what people are going to give them credit for. But everybody's still talking about that sophomore junk.
I don't see it, man.
I don't see it.
Remember after Baker's rookie year and those progressive commercials where you never stop seeing Baker Mayfield?
Mm-hmm.
Or obviously we saw it with Robert here. Jaden has done none of there is zero for me to think.
The commercials don't faze me at all. It's like, I look at what they've done around him on the team. Like, normally when teams have a quarterback that plays very, very good, they do nothing. They basically have went out and improved their squad. You got your coaching staff back. You've given him more tools, more weapons. So I think he's in a better situation than a lot of guys that had those great years. Look at my man C.J. Stroud last year. He ended up back in the playoffs, right? And both of his top receivers were hurt throughout the season. He still ended up in the playoffs. But people call that a sophomore slump. For him to get back to the playoffs with his top two receivers hurt, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
I'm not expecting any sort of sophomore slump. Now, last year they got the bounces. This year maybe they don't. But I think sometimes in life you create your own bounces. I think their aggression on fourth down leads to the long drives. I think Jaden isn't a turnover-prone guy. So there's some of that, if you want to say, like, oh, the football gods were on their side, maybe they were, but I think a lot of that was them creating their own opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I would be – Peter Roseberg's coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll preview this Knicks-Pacers game tonight with him, among other things. I do want us to just have a conversation about what the hell Pittsburgh is doing, but it doesn't make sense. I just think, I don't know that the Commanders are the biggest top contenders to take out the Eagles. I think the Lions will have something to say about it, even though they lost both coordinators. I think the Rams are quite good.
Losing both coordinators will hurt.
Yeah, and the Rams have won a Super Bowl. It's like people like to gloss over that. Mm-hmm. I think the NFC will have real contenders, but I think Washington's absolutely in the conversation. When we come back, what the hell is going on with the Steelers?